The Money Tree. This is Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capitol, California, talking about our instant inspiration, the Money Tree. Now, wouldn't that be an instant inspiration to anybody?
Mm-hmm.
The Money Tree. What does the Money Tree mean? The Money Tree merely means, where are we focusing our attention? We could have the Health Tree. We could have the Harmony Tree, the Happiness Tree. We could have the Love Tree. We could have the Family Tree. Where are we focusing our attention? We could have a birch tree, and an elm tree, and an oak tree, and a pine tree. And we could have a people tree. You know, a tree is much like a person is. The tree just has little extra limbs and a few other things like that, but it's much like a person is. A tree has a seed, and the seed puts down its roots. And then from those roots, it grows up, and sometimes it seeks to move to New York from California. And so it creates itself being transplanted by a gardener from California to New York. You know, people think that seeds or plants have no thought, no ability to do things. But I always marvel in Corona del Mar, where I lived for almost 20 years, at the intersection of Marguerite and Coast Highway, there was a median in the middle of the road. And this median had curving around the edge of it. And then between the curving and the road, it had a little break maybe, but between the road was made of asphalt, which went up to the curving. Okay? Now, at the point where the asphalt met the curving, the concrete curving, there was maybe a 16th of an inch, even smaller. For some reason, palm trees just love to grow between the curb and the side and the pavement. And at first we drove along that road, and we would see that at the intersection from my home. And a little tiny palm tree. How are you doing there, guy? You know, bless you, bless you. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it split the concrete, it split the asphalt, and it made quite a large thing for itself. And of course, the city had to come along and pull it out because it wasn't in its right place. And it would be damaging to the cars and other things. So they pulled it out. Well, what happened? Three more came up, and they grew up to be, almost a year old, and then the city pulled them up, and then more came up, and then pretty soon they lined the whole median, because they were going to come and be alive and grow. Now, what gives them a consciousness to do that in that place? Of course, Corona del Mar is a very posh place to live. It's like Beverly Hills, a very wonderful place to live, where very expensive, and I lived there, and I sold real estate there, and I had my publishing business there, and had my newspapers there, and a few other things, so it was a very happy place to be. But why did those palm trees grow in the middle of the road? It's like a tree grows in Brooklyn, same type of thing, but there's a seed that has this impulsion within it to grow and be, to be the tree that it can be. And that is how you and I are. We're like that seed. We have an impulsion within us to do something great. Now, some of us are money trees. Our consciousness is on money, and we're very successful with it. Others are on good relationships, and we're very successful with good relationships and getting along with other people. And then others, it's their work ethic. They're exquisite workers. Ellen goes around with her little genius talk about all the children being geniuses. Well, that's interesting. But more interesting is to see these kids being geniuses, to see them unlimited, playing with computers with such abandon and such facilities that they can do most anything they choose to do. And then little nephew, this was way back in 78 or something like that, 70, 78. And I was going to Europe to give seminars. That's when I first started doing that. And I came back from the seminar, and Felix Eschbacher says, "Well, Herb, here's an extra $5,000. And I thought to myself, "I'll remember this. Thank you very much." And so I took the $5,000 and bought a Hyperion computer, a little lunchbox computer with a yellow screen on it. And I wrote all of my books on there. I just had it balled, and I could only put one chapter on a floppy disk because it wouldn't hold more than that number of words, 10 pages, at 300 words to a page. So it was my money tree, that little computer. And I could see perfectly the screen. I could see perfectly everything. And I was looking at this little screen. It's just a tiny little thing. And I was doing my writing and doing work. Well, my nephew, getting around to my story there, my nephew, who was maybe about 7 or 8, he came in and he said, my great nephew, he says, "Uncle Herbie?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can I use your computer?" And I said, "Sure." You know, his father was a computer expert. Whoa. His mother was into computers, and he, a brilliant kid, Danny, just absolutely brilliant. Well, he said, "I'm going to put Dungeons and Dragons on your computer." I said, "You're going to do what? What's Dungeons and Dragons?" You know, "It's a game." And he said, "But anyway, I won't hurt anything. I'll take it off when I'm done." Well, all right, you know. And he did. He put Dungeons and Dragons on that computer. He did all of the, what do you call, programming to put it on. Amazing kid. Just amazing. And I was there for about 3 weeks in between giving seminars in Delaware and in New York and New Jersey and what have you. And so the computer was there at my sister's house. And Danny was there. And he went crazy with that computer. He fell in love with it too. Mm. But he played his game, did not hurt a thing. He couldn't. But he could get his program going there. And when it was time for me to go, I used the computer every afternoon as I'd write on my chapters of the book. When it was time for me to go, he just completely wiped off the Dungeons and Dragons game. Mm-hmm. And I never did get to know about Dungeons and Dragons until many, many, many years later. And I was quite surprised at what a complex game that was, what a mind he had. And then, of course, his mother took him down to Nassau and introduced him to the astronauts and so forth. But it was right up his alley. He just handled it like a trooper, you know, mm-hmm. though he'd been there all the time. So, but today, he's walking a little different road. He's a man, and he sort of a listless person. The beauty and the eagerness and the excitement that he had as a child had somehow dwindled away a little bit. And I kind of think it was the companions that he had, because when he left Delaware and went to Texas, he met a lot of interesting but good people who had no motivation, and so he was with them, and he just completely changed. But it's interesting, what sort of tree do we have? I was looking forward to his tree being a fabulous tree of intelligence and wisdom and computerized, and he was, and he is. He does know computers very well and things like that, but he's just not putting it into practice. Perhaps he's a late bloomer. Maybe another 20 years and he'll pop out. Grandma Moses, she didn't start painting until she was a grandma, and an old grandma too. And Churchill and Eisenhower and many of the others became painters in their latter years, just like Ross Provence is becoming a painter in his later years, although he wouldn't like to be said later years. What is the money tree? What is your money tree? What is the area that you place your consciousness in, that you do your thinking? Where do you place your values in life? And Don't tell me you place your values in good things and harmonious things and beautiful things, because I know the truth about you. I know the truth is that you are fantastic, glorious, magnificent, but I also know that you're playing a game right now. And the game you're playing is one of saying that I haven't got it all, that I'm limited. And I say, good for you, be limited. Good for you, don't have it all. Good for you, don't shake your money tree. It's okay, you don't have to. But the day will come when you do shake your money tree and you find that you are rich beyond imagination. You are successful and healthy beyond imagination. You are a desirable person in every possible way in your life. But it's only because you got tired of following the other way. You see, people, like the Hindus, the first 20 years, education, second 20 years, family, and the third 20 years, they go on into their spiritual life. So, 2, 4, 6, you're 60 years old before you head off into that, you know. And what's the deal about it? Why wait so long? Moses took all those years to go through the desert. He had a purpose in his mind. Moses went walking around in circles with the people of Israel for years and years and years, 40 years. And you know what happened? The older generations died away and the newer generations came in, and so they were all his people, even though some of them didn't cooperate very well. And this is what you are doing right now. You're going through this 40 years in the desert, and it can be a second or it can be a lifetime. And what you're doing is you're dying to the old attitudes that would limit you. You're dying to the thought that you got to fertilize the money tree. You got to put sewage on the money tree to help it grow. And that's not true. That if it's a happiness tree, that you got to have sadness for a comparison on the happiness tree. If it's a wholeness tree, you got to have illness as a comparison. You see, those are what nature teaches us. And finally we come to the conclusion, we don't need that other stuff. We don't need the negative in our life. We don't need those things in our life. But we choose to have them. And we see them and we get them, and we're having them thrown at us constantly because we have not let them go. And the minute we let them go, they will never be heard of again. And we'll never remember that we even mentioned it. So if you want the money tree, if you want the health tree, the harmony, peace, and joy, the love tree. Oh, that's a nice one, isn't it? If you want a tree that dwells upon these virtues of life, you dwell on those virtues of life. And you will be that tree. And you will be so happy, so content, so fulfilled, you'll be utterly amazed at how great you are. I love you, and have a nice evening. See, Ellen, I didn't forget to say that. Yeah. I love you.
Thank you.
I love you.
Love you too.